Wait. Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Hi, sisters, and welcome to another Q&A episode where I'll answer questions from the listeners. So we got some great questions today about people who are worried they may be replacing their drinking with another activity. So this question is from Alice P. in Minnesota, and she writes, I feel like I may be just replacing drinking with running. Is this a problem? And this is a question that comes up often, and one I've even asked myself when it comes to eating ice cream every day, binging Netflix, or having an afterwork mocktail. So to me, addiction means you keep doing something even when it's hurting you and the people around you. It's when nothing, not even the risk of getting into legal trouble, getting sick, or causing pain to your loved ones can stop you from that behavior. In my case, no matter how much I regretted my actions from the night before, whether I was dealing with a terrible hangover or feeling embarrassed about something I said or I did, I could not stop drinking. And a big part of why I drank so much was to try to manage my anxiety. And I thought alcohol would make me feel less anxious, but it was actually doing the opposite. So I had to understand that the problem wasn't just my drinking, it was also about dealing with the anxiety that led me to drink in the first place. So getting out of this cycle meant facing both my addiction and the reasons behind it, which was scary, but that's what you need to do for real change. So realizing that alcohol wasn't a viable solution for my anxiety meant I had to find new, healthier ways to cope. And it isn't easy. It requires building a toolbox of strategies that I can turn to and that are constructive rather than destructive. I lean into physical exercise, which not only improves my physical health, but also provides a mental release and a way to burn off some of that anxious energy that had previously driven me to drink. I also find support groups super helpful. So connecting with others who are navigating their own struggles with addiction and anxiety reminds me that I'm not alone. And these communities offer both understanding and accountability and help me stay committed to my journey towards health. I discovered that creative outlets also played a significant role in my recovery, in the management of my anxiety, and they are powerful tools for expression and self-reflection. So art, whether it's painting, drawing, or sculpting, provides a tactile and immersive way to channel feelings into something tangible, helping me process emotions that were difficult to articulate in words. But reading and journaling also are vital components of my coping strategy, and reading definitely offers an escape, but I would never call it unhealthy. And each new tool I add to my kit makes me a little stronger, a little more equipped to face life without relying on alcohol. And they don't just help me manage my anxiety. They transform how I deal with stress, how I relate to others, and how I view myself. So I find it hard to think that anything in my toolkit is an addiction or a swap for drinking. The foundation of my journey of sobriety involves finding new ways to cope with different triggers, manage stress, and fill the time that was previously occupied by drinking. And so it's easy to feel like you're replacing drinking with something else, but ideally, there are multiple things replacing alcohol, and hopefully most of them are healthy, or at least not detrimental. Even the less healthy things I do, like watching a bunch of episodes on Netflix or having ice cream after dinner, isn't necessarily bad. These things can be totally okay and even good for us. as long as we're making the choice to do them because we enjoy them and we're not letting them get in the way of our health or our daily responsibilities. So it's all about why we're doing it and how much control we have over it. For example, settling down for a few episodes and some ice cream can be a great way to chill out and give yourself a break. And these moments can make us happy and add a bit of fun to our day. But when we start using these activities to avoid dealing with bigger issues like feeling sad or stressed out all the time, or when they start to take over our lives, like if we're watching TV all night, every night, not getting enough sleep, that's when we need to take a step back. The main point is there is no one-size-fits-all answer to what makes a coping mechanism healthy or not. It really depends on how the activity fits into our lives. Is it adding something good? Or is it getting in the way of us living our best lives? And knowing the difference is key. So let's go over some ways that you can tell the difference. Here are some actionable steps to consider when evaluating a new activity that you're worried may be simply replacing your drinking. So first, do you want to do it or do you have to do it? An often overlooked aspect of addiction is the transition from drinking because you want to drinking because you feel like you have to. In the throes of active addiction, the initial joy and relief that alcohol provided might fade away, replaced by a compulsive need. And this shift marks a profound change in the relationship with alcohol. It's no longer about getting enjoyment or relaxation, but it's about avoiding the mental and physical discomfort that comes with not drinking. The substance that once seemed like a friend offering escape becomes more of a tyrant. The ritual of drinking loses the pleasure you may have initially felt and becomes a desperate attempt just to feel normal or get through the day. And this need over want is a stark indicator of an addiction, where you're no longer in control of the use, but rather the use controls you. So are you getting genuine joy and satisfaction in your activity? Unlike the compulsive cycle of addiction, where the act of drinking becomes a non-negotiable need, healthy coping strategies offer a genuine fulfillment and choice. So engaging in photography, art, reading, journaling represents a deliberate decision to nurture your mental health and creativity. And you pursue these for the inherent joy and growth they bring, not because of a pressing need to escape discomfort or feed a dependency. And this distinction is big. Where addiction demands you to adhere to something without relief, healthy coping mechanisms empower you and give you a sense of control and the ability to respond to life's changes. The more you engage in these healthy practices, the more you'll find a sense of peace, satisfaction, and a deepened understanding of yourself. Reflect on your motivations. So for Alice, take some time to think about why you've turned to running. Is it for the physical benefits, the mental clarity, or as a way to cope with stress? Understanding your motivations can help you determine if something is serving a positive role in your recovery or if it's becoming an unhealthy replacement. Assess your behavior. Evaluate how running is impacting your life. Consider whether it's interfering with your responsibilities, relationships, or other aspects of your health. If running is becoming compulsive or if you're using it to avoid dealing with emotions or situations, it might be worth reassessing its role in your life. Balance your activities. So make sure running is just one part of a well-rounded routine. Incorporate other activities into your life, such as different forms of exercise, hobbies, socializing, and relaxation practices. This diversification can prevent any one activity becoming a new dependency. Set healthy boundaries. So create a balanced schedule that includes running, rest days, and other activities. It's crucial to listen to your body and mind and allow yourself time to recover and engage in other supportive practices. Seek support. Talk to your recovery coach or mental health professional about your concerns. They can give you personalized advice and help you navigate these feelings. And sharing your experiences with peers in your recovery group could offer valuable insights and support. Given this set of criteria, I find it hard to find fault with Alice's running. I also take issue with the phrase once an addict, always an addict, or I have an addictive personality, because I feel like they can be self-fulfilling prophecies. And they sort of suggest that there's an unchangeable destiny attached to addiction. But these quotes are broad and they're not accurate in so many cases. If we consider addiction as a complex interplay of genetic, environmental, and psychological factors that predispose people to compulsively seek relief or pleasure from substances or behaviors, then when you're discussing healthy coping mechanisms like exercise, art, meditation, community activities, then the idea of addiction can be misleading. These activities, when you integrate them into a balanced life in a mindful way, promote well-being, resilience, and recovery. And they can really transform the narrative from one of perpetual addiction to one of growth and healing. And it proves that the labels of a perpetual addict or inherently addictive personality do not account for the human capacity for change and adaptation. But when applied to unhealthy coping mechanisms, substance abuse, compulsive gambling, or other harmful behaviors, these phrases can sometimes highlight the enduring struggle that people face when they're managing addictive behaviors. But the difference is in the nature and the impact of the coping mechanism. Unhealthy coping mechanisms often offer a temporary escape, leading to a cycle of dependency that reinforces the behavior. They can exacerbate underlying issues, leading to a deterioration of your mental, physical, and social health. And this contrast really underscores the importance of recognizing the power of choice and change in your life. It's crucial to understand that while certain predispositions to addiction may exist, but the journey of recovery really is about learning new healthy ways to cope with challenges and really reshaping the narrative from one of perpetual addiction to one of empowerment and self-discovery. This journey involves recognizing the potential for change, seeking support, and embracing a holistic approach to recovery that nurtures all aspects of an individual's well-being. This was Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you for listening and being with us today.
If you want to learn more about sobriety and meet your community, find us at sistersinsobriety.substack.com.
Are you a sister in sobriety? Then reach out on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're feeling generous, leave us 5 stars and a review and follow us wherever you listen.
You'll never miss an episode. Until next time.